Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens. Tonight we have, I think, a fun episode, especially because there's so much trauma going on this planet, certainly in the Northern Hemisphere. Major, Category 5 hurricanes, there have been two major earthquakes in Mexico, a lot of destruction, a lot of unbelievably horrible things going on.
Fukushima had one, too.
Oh, did that?
It hit with a 6-point-something today.
Uh-oh. And so we're going to do facts that aren't true. And I think these things are fun. I love to do these sorts of things. Because when you really start to think about them, you get certain things that are like either an old wives' tale or a rule of thumb, but people think they're true. Mm-hmm. And they're not.
And it's like, a lot of the media, they get a hold of some little ditty and then they start building it up into some, it's supposed to be some big truth. And then when you look it up, it has nothing to do with it at all.
And one of the problems, too, is like one of these guys who has this blog, Dan's Wild, Wild Science Journal. He's a science buff. He's a meteorologist. And he says he just can't take it anymore. When he sees things that people quote that just are not true. So he put up a blog post about these sorts of things. And with my scientific training, I am a chemical engineer by training. And one of my favorite courses was indeed organic chemistry. I loved organic chemistry. Mm-hmm. Yet the word organic has been co-opted. The literal definition of organic is a chemical one, and that is if you go back to Star Trek, a carbon-based unit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's a carbon-based molecule. And not that most of the things they say are organic aren't organic, because they are carbon-based, like an apple or a carrot. But what they mean is not grown with chemicals. But again, in terms of actual scientific accuracy, it's actually illiterate. It makes no sense. But I couldn't even say it in the early days because it made no sense. It wasn't true. But now everybody just says it and they sort of accept it. And now if you look it up in the dictionary, it has that definition only because people sort of accept it to be true. But whatever. But it can make you pull your hair out if you are a scientist and if your area of expertise is being discussed by what I call everybody's an expert on TV, or expert says, or read any newspaper, experts say, yet they don't say who these experts are and how they garnered their expertise. How many people are really experts? There are people that just blather and are these pundits, but what do they really know? They're wrong all the time. If you go back and check, they're wrong all the time. It's just absolutely amazing. So anyway, this guy, we like to give people their credit, Dan Satterfield. He's a meteorologist. And I got a kick out of it. And I got a whole bunch more, Judy, too. Because these things just open up a whole can of worms.
Yeah,
if you start to look, and you see all sorts of things, from historical myths to folklore and common myths and just a whole bunch of things. It's really great. Anyway, do you want to get into some of these scientific facts that are not facts at all?
Well, but it was on that, he has that blogosphere. That's what he basically, on this one, he was on there. And let me just see here, because it was one that I was interested in.
The first ones, actually, I'll just start with, most people wouldn't even know about this. If you think about the layers of our atmosphere, it's just not oxygen above us and nitrogen and whatever. We've got all these different layers that scientists put into these stratas and like the stratosphere, the mesosphere, et cetera, et cetera. So, fact, This is the fact that's not really a fact. The fact that the hottest layer of the atmosphere is the mesosphere. Okay, this is not really true. But if you use the average Joe's definition of hot, temperatures in the mesosphere actually approach 600 degrees centigrade. This is true. That's extremely hot. However, there are so few molecules in the air at that altitude, because you're talking about space, basically. Your hand would freeze instantly if you took off a glove of your spacesuit.
Right.
Actually, it would freeze while your blood boiled, as far as the feeling of warmth. The troposphere is the warmest layer of the atmosphere, which is the bottom 10 miles of the atmosphere where we live. The scientific definition of temperature is the average kinetic energy of the molecules. Using that definition, the mesosphere wins out, even though it would feel, it actually feels very cold. Because in most of the space, there's no molecules, so it'd be freezing cold. But where there are molecules, in these tiny little areas, it's actually hot.
Yeah.
So, whatever. You couldn't go up there. You wouldn't go up there. People would think, like, if you were up there, it would be blazing hot. No, you'd freeze to death immediately.
Right. Yeah. See, that's what people don't quite understand. And you get that a lot, too, with this global, whether you want to call it global change or global warming. You get a lot of that, too, because, oh, well, you know, it snowed and we got 2 feet of snow. Well, that's because everything's warmer. So there's more moisture in the air. So you're naturally going to get more snow out of that than as if it was bitter, bitter cold. You're not going to get this, you're not going to get the amounts of snow, you know. And people look at you like you're crazy when you try to explain it. And it's like, well, it's only like common sense, you know. I mean, think of the kind of storms you get, you know, If you've got that much more moisture in the air, and then you have a, you know, even a cold spell, you know, and they say, oh, well, you're going to get this big storm and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes you're going to get more snow just because of that specific moisture, and there's a lot of it in the air. And then you can have dry air that's out there, and then you get these storms, and you just don't get the amount of snow. And people just don't understand that. I hear that all the time. You know, well, if there was real global warming, we wouldn't have snowstorms. And it's like, no. I mean, just do some research, you know? I mean, but they don't. They just accept what they're being told, you know? And that gets, to me, frustrating. And then there's this other one about the fact that if it's and I've heard this since I was a kid, if it's really, really cloudy,
right,
then it's like a blanket that keeps the temperature warmer on clear nights.
Yes, don't you remember watching the local news saying radiational cooling? It's going to get colder,
well,
right?
I mean, you know it's going to get colder because there's nothing, you know, I mean, the air can just, the cold can just, well, let me read it here. It'll be a little better than I'll explain it. But, I mean, that is no. Clouds act like a blanket to keep the temperature warmer than on clear nights. And that really isn't true. The clouds don't hold in the heat. They absorb heat and radiate their
own heat.
Their own heat. In all different directions. Every object that has a temperature radiates electromagnetic waves. The hotter the temperature, the higher the frequency of the radiation. The sun is 6,000 degrees Celsius and radiates almost all of its light in the part of the spectrum we call light. Let me get my telephone from falling down. And then it goes on about the Earth and how it radiates most of its energy in the infrared wavelengths, but both are still light. Radio waves from your favorite FM station are light as well, and humans can only see a small portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. This IR radiation is why satellite images of the weather can be shown on TV at night, which still is kind of hard to explain to some of the people. But if you're camping, okay, and I see this a lot because I like to watch a lot of these nature shows and everything. And whenever these guys get stuck out into the wilderness, say up in Alaska or yeah, wherever, and they know they have to stay overnight because they can't get in it and, you know, make it back to their cabins or wherever they live, they look for a big wide tree, a big fir tree, and they dig out underneath it around the base of that tree. And the reason why they do that, they say that that tree will help keep them warmer.
Mm.
And it says, if you're camping and sleep under a tree, you will escape most of the dew compared to others who sleep, you know, right out under the stars. The tree didn't catch the dew. It just radiated energy to the ground that's around you. And it kept the ground warmer that way. And warmer ground is less dew. The same effects apply to your car windows on a frosty morning. I've wondered this a number of times.
Yeah.
Why my windshield gets completely iced up and my side windows have nothing. Just nothing. And so the same effects to your car windows on a frosty morning. There's a lot more frost on your windshield than on the side windows. Thank radiation from nearby shrubs, trees, and even walls of your house or whatever for doing that. It, you know, it's the same idea as being under that tree, and that earth is going to be warmer because the tree is reflecting radiation down onto that ground. So,
well, it's real interesting because when I was a kid, I worked at Burlingame State Park. And there was an area called the Pine Trees. Not really, but that's the people that frequented the park called it. And there were certain people that always wanted to be in the pine trees because they said that it would catch the dew. But what was really happening is, that's the wives' tale part, it was those trees were actually radiating out and kept it warmer.
Right.
Less dew. So they were right, in a sense, but for the wrong reasons.
Well, they just didn't understand why it was warmer, why the trees were keeping them warmer. But Native Americans have known that for a long time. When they're out and they get stuck somewhere and they can't go any further, they just, they will dig underneath and make like a dome in the deep snow, but it'll be under a tree. And then they can get in there. And all of that will help keep them warm. You can put like a little fire right beside you and be nice and toasty warm sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, if you were out a few feet, you could possibly just freeze to death even with a fire beside you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
but it does
some of these people, you know.
I think these meteorologists think it's easier to come up with a stupid expression like the clouds keep the warmth in when it doesn't.
No, it doesn't
just like,
do anything like that.
I remember years ago going to SeaWorld, I guess it's called. Not the one in Florida, but the one in California.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference was amazing because instead of being educational, it was all entertainment. And they had Shamu the whale at the time. And its babies, which were dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And just looking around, not to make fun of Californians or anything, but I'm like, I'm here in protest. Those are dolphins, not baby whales.
Yeah.
Why are you calling them? In the show, they're referring to them as baby whales, and that was Shamu's babies. No, they're not. It's just, it's hideous. There's no need for that. And here's another one that drives me nuts. Fact. The wind chill is how cold it feels, and the heat index is how hot it feels.
Yep.
Okay, apparently not. Neither is true. The wind chill and the heat index are measures of your body's rate of heat loss. You lose heat much faster in a breeze than in calm air. The heat index measures the ability of the body to cool you by sweating. In a more humid air mass, water will evaporate slower. The cooling effect will be less.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know, like on the Weather Channel, they used to have, they got a lot of flack for that because they were using this made up definition about the wind chill, because they would come up, especially Judy and I live in a northern climate. Oh, it gets cold. And we live on the coastline in New England. And let me tell you, it is one of the most raw and brutal climates because it is wet here. So that humidity thing kicks in here. It's pretty brutal. Anyway, especially if you have muscle problems. So anyhow.
Well, that's like my friends in the West that have said to me, how could you possibly have 90-some% humidity? It wouldn't be that way unless it would be raining.
And oh, yeah, that'll
no. It's not raining at all out. The sun's out, but we have 90-some% a humidity.
Yeah.
And they look at you like, you're nuts. That's impossible. If this was in the West, it would be raining.
Oh, absolutely. Just like when I had moved to Florida briefly in the 90s, and everybody says, oh, the humidity. But never, ever, ever did their humidity touch our humidity. Because, you know, the chairs stick to the floor. The doors swell up that are made out of wood, you know, and you can't even close them. But, you know, when it gets dried out, it does. But, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
All has to do with that. But I remember when they came out and rejiggered the wind chill, because some meteorologists were saying, okay, this isn't even true. So just stop it.
Yeah.
The more powerful the weather radar, the farther it can see. That's all made up, too. Did you notice they're always coming out with a new radar? Like the Doppler radar. And it's exclusive to them. And blah, 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 blah. Except if you go down the street and
they
watch
the TV there.
They can see
further than anyone. Yeah.
And it turns out they all have the same thing, basically. And it doesn't look any different than the old one. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they're better than whatever. Okay, TV news promotions are probably responsible for the belief. We have the most powerful radar around. That'll suck you in. Actually, power is important up to a point. The radar beam travels in nearly a straight line from the transmitter. The Earth curves away beneath the beam. Unlike the fat, I'd love to be a flat Earth person, but the Earth is not flat. So beyond a certain distance, you're just sending all the power into outer space. We typically run, this is the meteorologist speaking, our radar at an elevation of 0.8 degrees above the horizon. Because of the curvature of the Earth, the beam is over 3 kilometers high. When you take a thunderstorm 150 miles away, a shower at 1,500 meters is below the beam and not visible.
Mm-hmm.
To see a storm on radar more than 300 miles away, it would have to be over 15 kilometers tall, well into the stratosphere. I once spotted on radar a very severe storm over Omaha, Nebraska, from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
That was about the limit. To spot the circulation of a tornado, you need to be rather close. Only a strong tornado could be seen more than 150 kilometers away on a radar. A weak one is ideally within 50 kilometers. La-di-da.
Yeah. It's just amazing, you know, the things that we've been listening to all these years. And you kind of, like, accept it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, they must know because, you know, they were smart, so they must know what they're talking about. And then you find out it's just like any of our history. I mean, look at when we've done the shows on our history and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And the history that we've been taught, for the most part, just isn't true. And they still want to teach the same stuff out of the same books to our kids or our grandchildren now. And they're learning the same junk we learned, and it wasn't even, I mean, none of it was true. I mean, we've always had that thing about Columbus discovering America. You know, he should have been with Minoan.
End.
Then he must have been Minoan because
mm-hmm.
his boat was different, though, than the Minoan
well,
boat.
Well, that Kennewick man out in Washington State, what's he, 8,000, 10,000 years old?
Yeah. Well.
And he's European.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he's been given over to whichever local tribe is out there, and they won't let because they say he's sacred in theirs. But they've already proven that he's not even Native American by origin. There are people way before Columbus. He made it to the Isle of Hispaniola. He never came to America proper. And I know when people talk about the Americas, yes, the Isle of Hispaniola is in the Americas.
Uh-huh.
However, in the United States, I hate to say this, but we are like the big dog in the kennel here. Mm. And we refer to ourselves as Americans and America, not to belittle anybody else. Sorry, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, whatever. I know you're American as well, but you're South American or North American or whatever, but not because we're the United States of America. No other country is that. United States of America. We just truncate it and call ourselves America, Americans. He was never here. And that's what we mean by the history books actually mean United States of America. Never came here. It's so stupid. And I'm not going to get into this, that other crap like Black Lives Matter or Antifa. That's all crap too. That they're serving no purpose. However, if they want to talk about that one, they're right. Like a broken clock. On that one, they're right. We got to get rid of that holiday. And just absolutely make it Native American Day.
A lot of them are. They're going to make it. Yeah, they are going to. A lot of the different states are willing to do that now and take away Columbus. I mean, it won't go big in our town. I know that.
And, you know, as far as anybody having a right to complain, look, people are people and they're pretty awful to each other. However, the Native Americans took it on the chin and everywhere else. So they need that's not a myth. Although the way we wiped them out largely is a myth. The fact that we've done that shows on that too. It was most of the Native Americans who died in this country, sadly, did so through disease.
Oh yeah, we brought in. Look at how many of them died from smallpox
and
other measles and
well.
All that stuff that was brought into.
It doesn't mean that if we had our druthers, not us. And not my ancestors either, by the way. My little pilgrims, the ones that came on the Mayflower, made the Mayflower Compact. I will not give this up. It was the treaty they had with Massasoit. It lasted 70 years, 7-0. The United States can't even do that now. We can't even – what country can be at peace with another country for 70 years? We were at peace with them. It didn't mean the other people that came over from England and elsewhere weren't wreaking havoc. They were, but not my ancestors. No, they didn't. It wasn't until Massasoit died.
Not your ancestors.
Yes, that's right. I'm going to claim that one because I grew up with that. I grew up with my mother, the old Yankee that she is, that, we have the saying, you're no better than anybody else and nobody else better than you. But she grew up with Native Americans. You know, around here, they were Narragansetts. And we all know, we learned from them. They taught us how to what to fish, what to eat around here, how to plant. Well, they lived here. They were doing it. They taught us how to do that. That's not how.
Well, I mean, the pilgrims would not have survived at all had it not been for the Native Americans.
No.
They helped them to survive. They taught them.
That's right. And we got along with them. And, again, they're Native Americans. They're human beings. They're people. They had their faults, too. And all those local tribes around here, I'll get off this and back onto the facts, but why not? Because it's not too far away. It's two months away. We'll be back to Thanksgiving. The Pequots around here, which are nearby Connecticut, those people are vicious. They were really, really vicious. And they were raiding the Narragansetts and the Wampanoags all the time. And then when the Europeans showed up, they were as happy as could be and made alliances with them because the Pequots were very warlike and very – they were dominant people. You know, Last of Mohegans? Well, think of the Pequots whomping them because that's what the problem was. And so when the Europeans got here, a lot of the native tribes allied with the them, and they loved our firepower, and they traded for that because, you know, the Pequots happened to be an extremely aggressive tribe. And anyhow, not to knock those people, it is what it is. People are people, and some Native Americans were extremely peaceful, some were in between, and some were very warlike and constantly raiding.
Well, that was a
they
all
slaves. They were take their
all
women.
Across the United States.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Very peaceful tribes, and you had other tribes that were far from, you know, peaceful.
Far from it. But anyway,
yeah.
You know, it's been an ugly history, but whatever. But those people do need their day, so let's give that to them. I'm all for that. All the other crap, I think, whatever, it's exaggerated. But as far as that goes, Columbus did not discover America. It's got to go. All right, sticking with the weather.
Absolutely true. Oh, there's
it's
one thing on this. Let me just. This is the part that I was trying to find and talk at the same time last time. It was the fact that it can be too cold to snow.
Yeah.
And it can be too cold to snow a lot. And it cannot be too cold to snow at least some.
Yeah.
So, because you've heard that before. Oh, it's too cold. You'll never get snow tonight because it's
correct.
Too cold.
Oh, yeah.
But as air gets colder, it can
hold
less moisture. And so this is why the Antarctic is the greatest desert, actually, on Earth. It's drier in many places than the Sahara. Climate change is expected to cause more snow in polar regions, not less. And now you know why warmer air means it can snow more. It's because the moisture is in the warmer air, not in the cold air. And if you've got more moisture, you're naturally going to get more snow.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's why, again, we used to have this. I think this has changed, too. It's all within reason, but supposedly we used to get the biggest snowfalls when the temperature was around 30 to 32.
32.
But,
yeah,
man, we've had some wicked
snowstorms. As a matter of fact, when it used to be like 20,
they
used to say, oh, you'll never get a lot of snow. We've had some of our worst snowstorms in one way.
Yeah.
Our blizzards
absolutely.
Are usually around 20 degrees.
At best. Oh, yeah, that's definitely the new normal. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Yeah, it is anymore.
Uh-huh. I want to get into some fun ones, and you can intersperse with anything you want. Because
mm-hmm.
this was told to me, and I believed it for years when I was a kid.
Oh.
If you swallow chewing gum, it'll stay in your stomach for 7 years.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I used to picture, you know, all this gum building up. Anyway, that's an old wives' tale. And so your stomach is engineered by decades of evolution to digest an astounding amount of things, which is why you have a giant pool of acid sitting inside you. While it's true that gum isn't easy for your stomach to digest because it's not food, it's not going to hang around there far past its welcome. So your gum will inevitably be digested, and you'll poop it out right along with that pizza you ate. The miracle of nature.
Yes.
Did you know that carrots? I thought carrots did improve your vision.
Well, they always said that because of the vitamin C. And they always said that, oh, you know, carrots improve your vision. But I would say that probably in one way it does help because vitamin C is supposed to, I mean, if you,
well,
like, even when I was drinking orange juice all the time, I never got a cough. I never got anything. I didn't get the flu, the cold, nothing, because I just guzzled orange juice all day long. I had one big glass of it, and I would just keep it with me all day and sip on it.
Yeah, but we're talking about carrot juice.
Well, yeah, I know, but they're both orange. So
all
they
right.
had. Well, that's why I'm thinking that that's why they came up with this thing. But I mean, it's kind of crazy, but.
Oh no! Do you know the reason behind
say,
it?
Oh no! You'll be able to see better if you eat your carrots.
It was World War II.
I think it was just a mother who was just desperate to get the kids to eat their carrots.
Okay, no, that's a myth on a myth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, it's a product of World War II propaganda. Now, that's the mother of all propaganda, is World War II, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Hitler is alive. Well, he's dead now, but he was alive long after World War II. I don't think, you know, that's when I'm going to say Satan brought in propaganda, because it started with all those psychos over in, you know, the Nazis with their propaganda. But so much propaganda came out of it. And one of them is carrots improve your vision. When the British Army claimed that the reason that soldiers had great night vision was because they ate the carrots. However, the British government merely prompted this, well, misinformation as a way to distract from the real reason the senses were going crazy. The fighter pilots all had radar in their aircraft, making the enemy much easier to detect. See, that's one of the things was that's when radar was invented, was in World War II, of course, for military means. And that's when things really turned around for the British, among other things like cracking the code that the Germans were using. But their use of radar was allowed them to see. It wasn't carrot, but that's something they just threw out there. And that carrot myth stuck around despite its basis in lies. Even found its way into Bugs Bunny cartoons. But you know what? My oldest sister, hope you're not, well, I hope you're listening, but I doubt if you are. She has eaten, Judith, I don't know how many carrots in her lifetime.
Oh, God.
All based on this. Because she's always been a very, Yep.
That's sad. I hate carrots.
Oh, for God's sakes. Actually, for me, I just
don't like carrots. I don't know.
You're kidding,
I like most vegetables, but not that. All right, here's one. And they still do this today. When a baby's born, they cover its head up with a little cap because... Yeah. The idea is that it loses most of its body heat through its head.
Right.
And people, you got to wear a hat, or if you don't wear a hat on your head and you go out, you'll catch pneumonia or a cold. That's all, you know, I knew a long time ago that wasn't true. But body heat dissipates mainly through your head. No. And they said this because they said that so many blood vessels in the head, and you lose most of your body heat because of that and all that. It's bull. And you lose just as much heat per square inch through your head as you do through the rest of your body.
Correct.
I mean, if you went outside naked with a hat on, you're going to freeze to death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just common sense. And if you took the hat off, and you went outside and you had your clothes on, you know, you got a lot less.
We're used to going around. The non-Muslim world, for women anyway, is that most people see your entire head most of the time. And granted, we've got hair that helps, or some people don't. You know, lots of guys don't, but I still do. Anyhow, so that just. Is normal, like this is a normal thing. Well, not really. We cover up with the rest of the body, and that helps out. We cover a head, that even helps more. But it would be equally true, like Judith says, if you just start exposing, why do we do that? Obviously, because this is what we present to the world. This is how we see. We want our eyes, you know, open, and nose and mouth to breathe, et cetera, et cetera. So we tend to keep the head uncovered. But it's no more or less natural.
You don't lose
more heat from your head. Myth. You know, I mean,
that's not much different, David, than years and years ago, say even 100 years ago. Nobody took baths, okay, until it was warm in the spring because they were afraid, even inside their homes. They didn't take baths. They would wait till spring because if you took a bath and it was cold outside, you'd get pneumonia.
Right. Everybody
knows
that.
That's ridiculous. If you get a nice warm bathtub and pouring in boiling water to keep it nice and warm, and you're getting all cleaned up in a bathtub, actually you're getting rid of some of the germs and bacteria that you maybe should have got rid of if you were near somebody who was sick. But they didn't take baths. Sometimes they took a bath just like twice a year.
I know.
I mean, and the whole thing, going out in the rain. If you went out in the rain and you got cold, you got wet, you were going to get pneumonia. It's like, no, you have to get near somebody with a virus in order to even pick it up.
You cannot get a cold or pneumonia if you don't have the virus. It's just like with how many mothers out there have shouted that, especially to the daughters, but sons too. When they're going off to school in the morning, their hair is just, you know, dripping wet. And don't go out with it, you know, you'll catch your death. Meaning you'll catch a cold, you'll catch pneumonia. Now, of course, if you get chilled down, that will weaken your body's system, your immune system, because you're using a lot of energy just to heat yourself because you've got this cold head. But no, you can't. It's caused by a virus, not temperature. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, speaking of viruses, warts are caused by viruses, not toads.
Yep.
And I saw a little toad the other day. This is the time where the toads come out. And I'm thinking, where are the big toads anyway? I never see them. But at this time of year, I kind of let the grass grow. Plus, I hate mowing the lawn, to tell you the truth, but whatever. And it gets really wet for a good chunk of the day because the sun is so low now. And I saw a little toad. And I literally thought to myself, oh, I'd love to pick him up. And I pick up toads anyway because I just think they're so cute. But I started to think about the warts. Anyway, I don't know why this person said this, thinking that they don't want to touch toads. I love toads. I think they're cute. I think they're adorable. They're not ugly, and they are a little bit slimy. But I think they're just wonderful. I love them. Anyway, the common perception is that the toad's skin is covered with warts, and those warts emit bacteria that are communicable. However, that is based on a misconception of what those really are. It's just their skin, adapted to help the toad better blend into its environment to avoid predators. Warts only come from human viruses.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't know is that warts are, you know, they are a virus. And as a matter of fact, when raising cattle and before you go to the cattle shows and stuff, if your animal's got a wart on it, they won't let you in because it can pass from cow to cow. So about a month before you go, you take that wart and you take a pair of little pliers and you just pinch it. Doesn't hurt the cow at all. They got tough skin. You just pinch that off. What that does is it awakens the immune system and it will drive that virus inward. And as it does, then the immune system kills the warts. And so that if they have any other warts on their body at all, they all drop off. I've seen it done time and again. And all you do is take these little pliers and just kind of squeeze that wart. And all, the next time you look at the cow, they're all gone. They just fall off.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that has nothing to do with toads. Absolutely not. It is viral.
You and your animals. How about this one? Did you ever shave your legs?
Sure.
Did the hair grow back darker, thicker? Did you become Grizzly Adams?
And they used to say that too, you know, if you shaved or plucked your eyebrows or did anything, it would grow back darker. Literally, if you shave your eyebrows off, you won't get your eyebrows back. They don't like to grow back after they've been shaved off. But hair on your legs and armpits?
I thought that was plucking.
Comes back the same color.
Oh, God. Because I'm going to have a little basil cell on my eyebrow, right at the top of my eyebrow. And
I'll just show you how to use an eyebrow pencil to color it back in.
What? I'm not doing that.
Just a little tiny flick, flick, and then you have color where you'll have a bald spot.
Oh, no. So, because next Friday I have my surgery to get the rest of it. I was wondering if they're going to shave my eyebrow. Because it's really right at the very, it was like in, kind of mushed into my eyebrow. That's why I never cared that it was there, but they're like, oh, it's got to go.
For years, and when somebody came into the emergency room, if they needed to have surgery done, we never, ever shaved the eyebrows off.
Crap.
Because in shaving the eyebrows off, it was always said they'll never grow back.
Wait a second, though. Hold. Mm-hmm. If you pluck eyebrows,
they grow back.
They do grow back.
Yeah. Well, mine do. Yeah, it might maybe not as thick and maybe a finer hair. They grow back. But it absolutely is another thing the hospitals used to do all the time. I mean, on top of wrapping babies' heads up, they would also not want to shave somebody's eyebrow off.
This is so true. You know, because, like, men, we shave our beards and their heads quite frequently. I actually sport a beard now because I just hate shaving.
You have a beard?
I do.
I haven't seen you in a long time. I got to have to take a look at that.
Usually when people see it for the first time, I get a lot of compliments. I actually have a really nice beard. even though I'm fair, I got some Italian in me, and I actually can grow the beard very easily. I always had a pretty thick beard. Anyway, as it says, because a lot of guys don't. So if you just shaved all the time, you know, you would think it would thicken your beard. It does not. It doesn't do a damn thing. It doesn't change anything. Because otherwise you'd all be going around looking like Grizzly Adams. Oh, boy. I hope I don't lose my eyebrow.
No, I don't.
God. Okay, drinking too much caffeine will stunt your growth. I never heard this one.
Oh, yes. They always used to tell us that when we were little kids. I used to say, can I have a little bit of coffee? And my mother would say, no. She says, I'll put it. She would give us a warm milk and put like a tablespoon of coffee in it from their coffee. Mm-hmm. And she says, can't have more than that or it'll stunt your growth. You won't grow.
Yeah. Anyway,
we heard it all the time.
Human growth hormone is emitted during sleep. And so if you drink a lot of caffeine and maybe you don't sleep so much. However, reality seems to be the opposite. As people consume more caffeine annually, with the sales of coffee, tea, energy drinks, and sodas rising, average height is increasing. Between 1960 and 2002, the average American became 1.5 inches taller, all while drinking an extra cup of joe.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at how small people used to be back in the 1800s, when you see their clothing and their shoes and everything as to how tiny they were, they were small people for the most part. And now today, the average man is close to 6 foot, if not 6 foot. I mean, there's a lot of, there might be areas where there might be smaller, you know, shorter men, but for the most part, they're taller, and even the women are taller than they used to be. They used to have these little tiny waists and little tiny feet, and I used to look at the stuff in the ghost towns that they would have the clothes, you know, out so you could see what they wore, and it was amazing how tiny they were.
Yeah, they were.
It really was.
Oh, yeah, and the guys, compared to now, when you look at these guys in the Wild Wild West and all this other stuff, they were tiny compared to us. I mean, it's kind of spooky.
And here's another good one for you. Okay. God, what do I want to call him? I want to call him Beethoven, but it isn't. Oh, come on. The little guy, the little French guy, Bonaparte.
Yeah, Napoleon.
Okay. Napoleon Bonaparte was supposed to be this little tiny guy. Remember how they always said, oh, he was such a little tiny me, and he was this and that. He wasn't. He was actually taller than the average French man at that time. He was a taller, you know.
Short by our standards, but certainly.
Well,
not,
but taller than the men of his period. Yeah. He was definitely taller.
Yep.
So, well, the other guys were smaller, so why were they making fun of him? Because, good, anyway.
Well, again, all these myths that creep into things that people take as truth, especially anything that has to do with war.
Yeah. If they can put somebody down, it's another way to just, I think, put somebody down. But then, and the story of the Great Wall of China is the only man-made object that's visible from space.
So they say.
That's not even true, because the space station can't even see it.
I know.
And so, you know, you can see other man-made objects from space. That's just ridiculous, because if it's nighttime and they're up there, they can look down and see all the lights from all the major cities.
No kidding. Look at all the things. The Great Wall of China, how tall is the Great Wall of China at its greatest height?
Right.
It's not as big as the, you know, Pyramid of Giza.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, just because it's super long, its height, it's tiny, it's short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so crazy. Just like Hadrian's Wall.
I love that one because that was where Scotland.
Yeah, I know, but you could step over it.
And you know what's really weird? I think it might have been taller before. It was taller,
I guess,
many years ago, you know, when the Romans were there. And they built that because they were afraid of the Scots.
Oh, yeah. They were wild.
And yeah, they were. They thought that the Scottish warriors were insane barbarians. So, you know, the old Scots, they'd paint their faces all bright colors and go
pull
somebody apart with horses. And they were just having fun, for God's sakes. I'm Scottish. So, at any rate.
I've got some. Did you know that the women, I just want to throw this to you, because
right.
I bet you would have done this.
Oh,
they
smart.
Would be the Celtic women warriors up there would fight topless.
Oh,
the
yeah.
women, bam.
Yeah. Well, think of the men with the kilts on. They didn't have anything on under them.
No, they turn and show you the bum. You're their bum. But the women scared the Romans because these women were topless with their spears or whatever, coming like maniacs. Oh yeah.
That's why they thought they were barbarians.
Well,
yeah.
Said that too.
Uh-huh. Now, here's one that I think this time, well, even earlier than this time of year, but when you see baby birds on the ground and they're fledging, it's what they're doing. They're learning how to fly. And so many people will pick them up, put them in a box, and bring them in the house. I got to protect it because, you know, you don't even have to do that because mother birds really have poor sense of smell, and you can actually pick that baby bird up and either put him in a little box up on up on a tree limb, or just stick him up on a tree limb in the crotch of a tree or something. The parents aren't far away, believe it or not. They didn't just leave him to sit out there, and he's a fledgling, and fledglings usually the first few times aren't swift enough to fly away, and they'll fly out and land on the ground. So, yeah, maybe cats could get a hold of them. So if you can, just pick them up, put them up in a tree, in a crotch, or put them back in the nest if you can get them up there. And the parents will come back, and they will take care of them, despite the fact that you put your hands on them, because that won't affect the parents at all. And I see it. I've always seen it. The people will find a baby bird on the lawn and they'll pick it up and bring it in the house, and then it dies because wild birds very seldom can take being kept inside or anything like that.
Yeah.
So just put them back in a tree, and you know, your nature. These people who raise these animals, because people do these things, and they'll haul them to them to take care of them. By that time, it's too late to put them back up in the tree. But they even do that with raccoon babies and stuff. They'll put a big box, like a covered box or something, and they'll make a nest in there for the raccoon babies. Mm-hmm. And the mothers will find them, and they'll come up there, even if it's a big bird. And it's got a baby in your attic or something. It will find that baby if you put it, make a nest of some sort, whether it's in a big bucket or a box or whatever. Stick it up on top of the roof. Just attach it to your roof, maybe around a chimney or whatever. And that mother bird will find that baby, and she'll continue to take care of it, and it will live. Unlike if you take it in and try to do it yourself, because wild animals just don't do well like that. That's
by and large.
my ditty for the night.
All right, ditty. Remember the old phrase, feed a cold, starve a fever?
Yep.
Apparently this isn't true.
Way around, you know.
Well, it's not really either. One thing, it's never good to overeat. Do not overeat when you're sick, because your body's using, doesn't want to use a lot of energy to digest.
Mm-hmm.
However, you've got to take in nutrients, not just water. You need to take in nutrients. I'm terrible when I'm sick. Almost no matter what I have, I don't want to eat. However, even just doing the old chicken broth, I've had to do that even this year, unfortunately. You can do a lot with chicken broth. And I just love it, especially when I'm sick. My body sort of sucks it up. But you do need something really easy to digest. It'll give your body more ammunition to fight. But
well,
you don't want to overdo.
Always used to make chicken noodle soup because
correct.
It actually will work as a decongestant.
Yeah. Chicken noodle soup is actually one of the great things for you.
Yeah, it actually is.
Vegetarians aside,
they got a couple of things right in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to say that different parts of your tongue are different areas on your tongue will detect different tastes, and that's just not true. People sense different tastes all over their tongues and not just, you know, oh, that's the sour spot, that's the sweet spot. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another.
It is. And I remember that from biology class. I know we heard that, but apparently that is not true. And it only makes sense. Again, so much is crap that we're told.
Yeah.
Watching TV will ruin your eyesight. Now, it's kind of amazing. Maybe it would ruin some people's eyesight, but I remember, you know, especially because I have 5 younger siblings. Watching the kids intently watch something is just staring at something like a foot away. Although, you know, how far am I away from my computer screen? A foot and a half?
Right. Yeah,
kinda
I'm
weird.
Actually much closer.
Yeah. That's right. You were always told it had to be at least 6 feet or 10 feet away.
Well,
maybe
they used
four
to
hours.
Think it was full of radiation so that if you were too close, you'd get radiation and it would make you sick and then you'd lose your sight.
Yeah. I know.
The things they used to tell us, and we were stupid enough to believe it.
It can cause headaches and fatigue. You should take a regular break from just staring at a screen. But it is kind of unusual how much you can actually watch this stuff. Like all these kids on those smartphones and whatever, just thumbing away on those things. Tweeting and texting and whatever else. And you know, they're staring at this thing all day long. They seem to be fine. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, 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 really wild. You know, there's one myth I usually leave off, but you only use 10% of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
As this verse says, if that's so, then that gunshot to the brain probably wouldn't do much damage. Unfortunately, or fortunately, this myth is very, very false. You use more than 10% of the brain. The brain only weighs a couple of pounds, yet it uses around 20% of the oxygen and glucose that your body requires.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty doubtful we would have evolved so inefficiently if the brain was 90% useless. Never mind that. Brain scans show the whole organ is pretty darn active. During the course of a normal day, 100% of your brain is chugging away at one point or another. See, I believe that too. I've heard that myth over and over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
There is no way that we just use that little bit of our brains. Nope. Oh, here's one. I remember this one. A penny drop from the Empire State Building will kill you if it hits you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know it would hit terminal velocity. I think it would. I don't know.
Except
wouldn't
give
that
you
just
a good
go right?
Mac.
I think it would go right through your brain, but apparently not. And I don't know if anybody's ever tested this one, but again, it's a simple physics problem.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, I mean, most of those windows probably don't open on all those skyscrapers, but somebody's up there in these penthouses. You think somebody might have chucked off pennies by now to find out. Anyway, that, you know, if a whole wrapper of pennies is chucked off, it would do some damage, but a single penny won't do much harm. It might sting a little, but that's about it. Pennies aren't heavy enough or aerodynamically designed enough to gather the force necessary to hurt you. There's too much tumbling and flipping on the way down. So it almost acts like a parachute.
What if it hit you coming down and it hit you on its edge, you know, like coming.
Correct.
Yeah, and that would possibly be able to cut you.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, stick into your skin or something if it came down on, you know, and it wasn't flat. And it was coming down, right down on its edge, and it hit you with that far from the top. I would imagine it could quite possibly cut you.
Mm-hmm. I would have thought.
Oh, what's my ditty on that?
Right.
There's just so many cool things to look up.
Yeah, hair and nails continue to grow after you die.
No.
No, and this is how we got to debunk our Rhode Island vampire story.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy Brown, correct? Because they exhumed the poor thing and its nails appeared to have. Because what actually happens is that your skin dries out, retracts, and sort of shrivels up, exposing more of the hair and nail roots. It stops growing. It's not growing at all.
Because once your body's dead, it's dead. And
nothing can grow
if it's dead.
I remember this one as well. Eating watermelon seeds will give you an appendicitis.
Oh, God, yes.
Not true. Oh, yeah. Or that way you could grow a tree in your stomach or something like that.
Well, you grow a watermelon. I know kids used to think pregnant women, nobody talked about how they got pregnant or anything, and they used to think they ate a watermelon seed.
I remember this one from one being told. Two, I said on one of those shows like Animal Planet or Discovery or whatever, a guy got down in Australia, got bit by a box jellyfish. And he did what they told him to do because you're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, he peed on him, the thing, he urinated on it. Actually, depending on how long it's been since you got stung, you could actually have some of the venom in your urine, and that was from the stinger. But anyway, and it could also help release even more from the stinger. But anyway, it's better to rub it with vinegar. The acid in vinegar counteracts the stinger and will relieve the pain.
Yeah.
And that one I knew, but I had always heard the one about, you know, your urine. Apparently that's not true. So you don't have to get into that sort of business. I know people that do the drop the food on the floor. If you pick it up with them in 5 seconds, it's okay.
Well, 5 second rule, yes. That's not true either.
No, it isn't. Oh, here's one. I know we only have a minute to go. You should wash your chicken before you cook it. Now, how many times have I heard that? As it says here, stop doing that. Not only is it a waste of time, proper cooking will destroy harmful germs. You got to cook your chicken, people. Never undercook chicken. But according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, washing raw chicken just splashes potentially dangerous germs all over the sink and the counter.
Yeah, it does.
Bingo.
Just stick it in the oven.
Yeah. That's what I do anyway.
Yeah.
And I always think, like, I'm cheating, but it always works. Because it just made sense to me. I mean,
heat's going to kill it.
Yeah. You cook it long enough and hot enough, it's going to kill it.
Yep. It's got to get the right temperature.
Yeah. Always a battle. But yeah, that's one thing for sure. I'm not into eating raw foods or undercooked food. But be that as it may, Judy, we're at the end of our hour. Hope you all learned something.
I mean, if you want to learn the truth and get out there and look these things up, have a great week.
Thanks. was written down by Dave Triple. And no, don't fix your big with us tonight. Join us again next week for another hour of the unusual. Until then, enjoy.